Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Foch's Corner, starring Coach Phony Bennett, the producer and CEO T Dubs, Dougie Fresh, special guest Chris Havlicek, and myself, Mark Jerome, along with the little guy.
Can people meet Kyle there, down there?
Coach, how you doing? How you feeling? How was surgery?
Good, man. Good, good. For those, I guess we talked about a little last week. Just had, your arthroscopic knee surgery, second time on this knee. Tore both menisci, I think. I don't know. It might be Latin. But they fixed me up and getting around pretty good. So I haven't missed a game yet. Inspired by Kihei. Still going, man. How are you doing? I see you got the baby today.
Yeah, I got the little guy. He was behaving. I think he's... How old are you now? 6 or 7 weeks tomorrow? Yeah, one of them. 7 weeks tomorrow. And I'm getting the baby advice from Dougie.
Oh, that's sure to work out.
Dougie's offered to come over and babysit.
I can't wait. Send him over. Put him in an Uber to my house, and I'll take care of him forever.
I'm putting on one of those boats that go across the Hudson.
Exactly. I got it.
He's got the same haircut as Fresh right now, by the way. Like real thick on the sides.
No, light on the top.
Check it out. I haven't cut my hair for like a month.
No. You know what? You guys ever see The Princess Bride?
Oh yeah. Love that movie.
Remember Vizzini? The old guy. He was hilarious.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I call him sometimes because he's got no hair on top. So hey Vizzini, come here.
That's so funny.
He's cute, man. He's cute.
So they all, whatever. He's changing a little bit, thank God, because he was one homely looking child.
This is forever, Mark. You can't.
My mother says I was really ugly too as a baby.
She sounds like a wonderful woman.
So we have
What's that?
Jake Malisek just commented. Wait, I thought I was Phony Bennett. So shout out Jake.
Jake.
Oh yeah, I got to check this out on Facebook. I won't turn my volume up because I probably screwed things up.
What's that? Yeah.
What's happening down in Florida, Hav?
Okay, well, I didn't know this was a basketball show. I called in. I thought this was to talk about politics and COVID, I'll be happy to talk hoops. Now we're we got a storm coming our way. We've got a potential, mini hurricane, which is a little late. But look, everything's been dominated right now by the election, and I'm just happy to get off that topic and talk hoops with my boys, and get ready for a great season.
Shout out Ball Hawk. He just joined.
What's up, Ball Hawk?
T-Dubs, what do you got first?
All right, I'm going to share my screen. The first one is this is you guys have seen the commotion, but this is all the rage. Media day, new headshots, new uniforms. Have you guys seen the new uniforms?
Yes.
Oh. All right.
What's your take on that uniform, Hav?
Well, you got to understand, Mark, and I think Cub is on, and he'll probably second this from the football side, and I know Fresh will. The biggest advancement in sports has not been the training, the strength training, the dieting. It's been in the uniforms, okay? So we wore double mesh. It was like fabric cheese graters that you wore on your body. And in fact, if you look at like our era, almost everybody wore a t-shirt underneath their jersey. That was not a fashion statement. That was a protective layer against the Ginsu knife cheese grater uniforms that we had. So, I look at people are commenting on the design of the uniform and where the sabers are and, all the nuance around the new design. I just think they should be thankful that they're not bleeding.
So you have fairly
in specific areas, correct?
Yes.
I mean, I've made my feelings known on Twitter, and I don't feel strongly about uniforms. I mean, to me, I'm cheering for the team and whatever. But I do feel strongly that orange is one of our school's colors, and I wish it were represented more in the uniform. And maybe even if the numbers were just all orange, I mean, it wouldn't take a massive change. I think they're very sharp uniforms. So I think they're good looking uniforms, but they don't stand out as a Virginia uniform to me. I love that rotunda watermark that used to be on there. They were a very uniquely Virginia thing, and now it looks a little bit generic, and it could be less generic with more of our colors. So that's my opinion. It's a good looking uniform though, and I mean, Jay looks good. He looks like he's aged 6 or 7 years since last season, but
that's what marriage will do to you. So
I mean, he's a man now.
I thought that was Duck Dynasty when I first looked up at the screen, but no, he looks good. Hey, do they not have an orange version of the uniform? Because we had the orange, blue, and white.
The last time they wore orange jerseys was at Duke in 2010, I believe. It was a loss, and we haven't worn them since then. The word on the street is always Tony either doesn't like orange or that soured him on it. You know, he said before he's very traditional in what he wants us to wear. But I mean, orange was our big game orange, and it used to be when they would break it out for those games. So I think the fans would appreciate the orange. I can't see why the players wouldn't appreciate the orange. And so maybe a little bit of fan service or player service should be.
Well, you remember our best uniform was orange my last year. And it was like it was
the
it
only
was,
one that
yeah, it was satin, blood. It was smooth, it was slick, and that was my favorite one. For whatever it's worth.
How about the font? How about the font on this jersey? Is it? I mean, it looks just like Virginia Tech's minus the tech now. Any thoughts on that?
I think Nike's trying to make everybody the same. It's a conspiracy scenario.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad looking font, but again, the font that we had, I guess it was more of a Roman font. Maybe it was. I liked it, and it seemed to suit the university and all that. But I'm not real hung up on fonts. It's the color for me. I mean,
we need to get a font consultant on the call.
I agree with that.
To bring out what that font means. But I have a better idea. So you know how Notre Dame in football will wear their green jerseys for big games, and they don't break them out every year. It's like a special occasion. I think that would be a cool tradition at Virginia to break out the orange big games and, you know, roll them out, you know, once every 2 years, whatever. I think that would be pretty cool and something that the fans would get behind.
Well, I'll be honest, like thinking about when I'm following the stuff now, which I never have, I would never have noticed when I watched the game what the uniform was. I wouldn't have been like, oh, that's whack. Or that font or that color, but just because we bring it to our attention, right? Me have remembers. We used to always say back in the day when we played, we're like, yo, Duke and Carolina have the best gear. Remember have? We're like, our shit's so whack.
They have the best
gear.
They had the best gear on the court. Yep. They had the best gear in the lobby of the hotel. They had the best shoes. Right. They had the backpacks, like they were geared out, and we were always a little bit jealous. And by the way, we had it nice.
Oh, no doubt.
They were a step above. They were a step above, and always look smooth. You can always want, but we had it good. They had it better on the uniform.
Yeah, right? I don't think our players are hurting for gear these days. I mean, Mark can speak more to that. I mean, that it seems to.
Yeah,
fair enough. You got enough gear floating around the house, Mark?
I was going to say the rafters at UNC are great too.
Yeah, I love gear, Coach. Yeah. I love it. So, you know.
I mean,
I keep a lot of it now.
I gave all my shit away. I was so dumb. I gave it all away.
Come on, Fresh.
Yeah.
Sold it for big bucks.
Gonna bring up old jerseys. Here's an orange one that, you know, these jerseys weighed like 200 pounds, but they're great. They look sweet.
Yeah. Orange. That's fly. Love it.
The satin look, if we scroll down there. There's the N1. Jake Malisek said, bring back the N1 jerseys. Everyone hated these, but to me, they're, you know,
Look at Coach Gill in the background not calling a play.
My biggest problem with the end ones is they didn't get the shade of blue right.
Yeah, and they were like,
some people are complaining the new ones are too dark, but I mean the end ones were too bright or something.
It almost looked like a sweater vest or something. I don't know. Had a weird look. There's the end one again, and there's the satin. There's the one.
Oh, there it is.
That's it. Satin right there.
Virginia, that's classic jersey.
That's yeah, traditional.
That's a great looking jersey.
Yeah, old school.
We got to bring that back. Big games like Notre Dame football when they wear the green. That's yep. What I'm proposing. I agree.
This is definitely like rich people problems. Talking to, like, you know,
right.
We're talking about jerseys, like, really. But it is.
And by the way, that's after Corey started working out with me in the weight room when he decided it was important. His second year.
And then
I'm not kidding.
I think I was going to read your comment here, Phony. At the end of the day, the uniforms make a little difference to my enjoyment, but damn, couldn't they respect our colors and orange and blue, not blue and white.
Well, and it's like, you know, the Pepsi blue and white game. Now you figure, okay, blue and white are Pepsi's colors, so they're stuck with that. But our colors are blue and orange. You know, white's like the tertiary color for us or something. I don't know. Give us an orange jersey. There's some orange like outlining the numbers on that, but you got to be so close to see it, and none of us are even going to be inside the arena this year, so they need to do better. You know, I don't know how it would look with the stripe being orange. I don't know. I need some orange.
Yeah,
they gotta augment it with some like the shooting shirts or the warm up or whatever it is. They can incorporate some orange there maybe, but you know, I don't think our suggestions will be.
You know, no, they've taken very few of my suggestions so far, so I'm not.
our next tweet, Preston Willett, looks like UVA is without a season or opener right now. 20 days before opening night, St. Peter's is out for the Mohegan Sun tournament. No, and I guess that's their opener on the 25th.
Yeah, I don't know if they can find a team. It's a short notice. Any idea why St. Peter's is out?
Yeah, good question. I'm thinking the same.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think they just
St. Peter's is 2 miles away from me right here. So
I feel like I just learned the name of that school 2 weeks ago for absolutely no reason now.
Yeah.
I never knew they existed and now we're not playing them. Why?
What happened?
Who's the point guard from Seton Hall is the coach, Shaheen? What's his name?
Shaheen Holloway.
Right, Marty? Yeah, it's right.
Oh yeah.
My son's graduation was at their gym, so
what
I know.
I was gonna ask Fresh and Have, what was media day like for you guys? Was it exciting? Was it a task? Was it what did that mean?
I remember.
Fresh, go ahead.
I remember it well. Have came in a robe, and his hair sleeked back, and wow! No, I'm kidding. No, I think it was exciting, right? It was different for us when we were young. When we were young, it was exciting. Like, it's different. Who's going to talk to me? Nobody. Yeah, but we didn't have nobody was taking pictures of us in our uniforms.
Right.
Very
right?
Different than what it is now. We basically would go into our team room and they would let the media in, which was a whopping like six people. And three would go to Crotty and three would go to Brian Stiff and we'd sit there and hang out for a little while. And then occasionally someone would come over and ask, you know, they're looking for stuff, but you know, I viewed it very much as like a sick day at work where I didn't have to do much. And we would, sit around and, you know, I will say it was just such a different, like, we didn't have uniform unveilings.
No.
There was no, they didn't follow us as closely off the court. It was just a very different atmosphere. But, I mean, some of the same guys were there. Jerry Ratcliffe was there, and we had our SIDs there. And, I think more of the media happened kind of during the games. And then also, if there were special requests, before Fresh had a great game or somebody wanted to talk to somebody else, they would do those. But it was not a press conference every single game with, you know, 50 people there.
Right. Rich Murray, Mr. Murray, shout right. out. The best. What was big back in our day, though, was the ACC media day, and we'd all fly somewhere. Big. And you probably went your fifth year, or no? I went my fourth year. Yeah. So that was
the cool. captain. So they had yep. to take me. They had to take me. It was a bylaw, and I got to go. But very.
How many guys went? Have
two.
Yeah, it was two people, and I think they took three my year because they knew I had to go. So. We did it in Charlotte.
Yeah. Me and TJ went to Charlotte. Same. Yeah, but our media day in Charlottesville at U-Haul was not like, you know, whatever.
Nobody cared.
Maybe a chore for us, right? Like we'll go
hang out.
Somebody talks to us, doesn't? Yeah, that's all. We weren't putting our uniforms on for sure.
So Zach Carey, shout out Zach. He said Maine could be our first opponent because they're the other team going.
Okay. But then aren't there supposed to be four teams?
Maine. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they'll find a replacement.
Yeah, we're going to – I mean, if there's going to be two – yeah.
What are our thoughts on opening day lineups? Last time we talked about who would get the minutes. Who do we think is going to – going to be starting that first game?
Wow, projecting.
I think it's line. Obvious, no?
Let's hear it.
Right, yeah, bring it.
Who you got, Dougie?
I got Beekman. I got Reese. I got Jabri. I got McCoy. Nah, I got the same guys. Like, Kihei is going to start. Probably, yeah. I think Casey will start. Help me out. Jay,
Sam.
Sam, obviously.
You know, and then
McCoy.
So leave, you know, the spot McCoy, Thomas. I guess he goes back
Thomas. Thomas will start. I mean,
probably between those, but then there's a lot happening in practice with those guys, or even could end up with a surprise a late entrant to the lineup, so
I don't think starting will be a surprise so much. Yeah. I think ending will be a surprise.
At the end of the year, it'll be a different story.
And no. as Leaf so poignantly pointed out.
Yeah. First of all, I wanna remember Leaf and add to the name Preston. Preston Willett, which is one of the great fraternity names of all time at UVA. But I press you. You said something really important, right? So you talked about starting and finishing. And when you said that, I was thinking about the game.
Hey,
that,
me too.
Me too.
So my dad, you know, my dad was like a sixth man. And he took over that role from a previous player. And the media would ask him, are you bothered? Like, not starting. And he said, well, I'm not starting, but I'm finishing. And I think that's what, you know, Tony's gonna and staff are gonna have to do a good job with guys, because you've got to allocate minutes, right? And you've got to keep your players happy and motivated, but I do think the players that he trusts the most will be playing at the end of the game, which is different than starting the game, right? So
yeah.
You know, a lot to see and a lot to speculate about. But I, as a player, I would rather finish a game than start.
But you started games, right?
Yeah, when there were injuries and academic suspensions. I started a finite amount of games, especially my fifth year.
Right.
And you know. there's I have stories that we can talk about making a good play and then hearing the buzzer and being kind of pissed that I was being taken out. But I also remember, you know, my biggest friend, my best friend at UVA was foul trouble. So when someone else got in foul trouble, like that's when I got to get in. And so really that's what I rooted for, you know. You never want anyone to get hurt. You never want anyone to be in trouble with the school academically. So, but I never felt bad for, you know, Cornell when he had three fouls in the first half either. So.
Well, I never started, so that's my big gripe.
You definitely started.
Nope, not once I have.
You started your senior day.
Nope, I refused. I refuted it.
Oh, you did?
I said,
wow.
No chance.
You're like a social activist. I didn't know that.
Wow.
No, I was for the better of the team. I wanted to keep winning, man. We had a good year that year.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't remember that, but that's a cool thing to remember.
There's articles about
Big Red and I, Big Sean and I couldn't wait to start. We were like, yeah, all right, let's go.
That's awesome.
I give you a live update. Trevor Keels just went live on Instagram. Is he gonna commit? I have no idea.
Oh wow, now? Yeah. Right now?
Yeah, just now. What are your thoughts? Where is Trevor Keels gonna? So for people that don't know, Trevor Keels, 5-star shooting guard, is down to Villanova, Duke, Virginia.
My heart tells me Nova.
Nova.
Yeah. What about you, Fresh?
Can we get him on this call? Can we get him right now?
Can we get him on here instead?
Somebody patch him in. Let's make one last push.
I think our big miss with him, I think I read today that he didn't get his official visit to UVA because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I think that kills us.
He got an unofficial. He came with his family and I guess did not see the coaching staff. He just came and toured himself.
And be with the players. It's more important to be with the players, right? Yeah. Like, if you can't do
that's a tough one, yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's your chance. And they've got, you know, things they want to show the players and how to walk them through JPJ and stuff. And there's, that's a big loss. But again, you know, pragmatically speaking for him, you look at how stacked UVA is this next year, who we're projected to have. Tony's not someone that's going to promise somebody a starting position.
Yeah.
You know, he'd have the chance to start. It's not like he couldn't start, but that's going to have to be earned in a very short period of time. And, you know, there's other places where he can he's more likely to slide. And there might be other coaches willing to promise him things. You know, I don't think Jay Wright is going to be one to promise anything that he wouldn't intend on delivering on. But I think it's just a different way of approaching it. And they're not going to be a stack there next year at Villanova as we are at Virginia. So, you know, it might make sense for him. If you're looking to be a one and done, you need to go someplace where you're not going to be, you know, waiting until the eighth minute to, you know, get your first look.
Where is he from again? Where is he from?
Maryland or DC?
Keels. Keels. Yeah.
Where is he actually from? I know he's going there now, but I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you mean?
I think Maryland, right? That Point Guard County, whatever it's called.
PG County.
PG County.
I mean, he's there now. I don't know if you're up there.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find where Mike Powell's from, I think.
Okay.
I think.
So, he's from Fairfax.
It says Fairfax.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Yep.
So he's in state. He's an in-state kid.
Yeah. So
247 Sports predicts Duke.
One and done. So you're telling we should have done Keel's house over JPJ and helicopter right over.
But he would have had to bring his own helicopter because it wasn't unofficial. So that's a big ask.
It wouldn't have worked. He'd have to just fly over and see it.
Get lucky.
So what are we thinking about the incoming now? Now that we've got this extra year of eligibility, what do you guys think? Does that hurt? It seems like that's hurting Virginia more than it would obviously at Duke.
The extra year?
Yeah, the extra year.
You know, I think, you know, most of the guys, you know, we've got a few that could certainly not even intend on using 4 years, even if, it's giving it to him. You know, I'm not sure there's too many guys that would take the fifth year, even the guys that may not be NBA bound, you know, maybe anxious to get their pro careers in Europe started or whatever. So I don't see it having too much effect. You know, I'm sure Tony's decided what they're going to do because that's going to have a knock-on effect on recruiting. So,
right. What have you guys seen of the new guys?
What you hearing, Mark? What are you hearing that you can tell us?
What I can share?
Yeah.
Reese is playing great. I hear Reese is great. I hear.
What about Tane Murray? What about Tane? The commit Tane Murray.
I have not spoken to anybody specifically about him, so we need to jump on with Coach from New Zealand, Coach, why his name is escaping.
Kirk Penny. Penny.
Kirk Penny, thank you.
Yeah.
Of course you know that.
Have you heard anything? You said you watched some video?
Look, I watched video and I think Fresh nailed it. He is a, what's his name? Grayson Allen lookalike on tape. He's really? Athletic kid. He slashes, he shoots. I didn't think about that name.
I was going to say another tripping.
I avoided going there.
Yeah. No, but he's impressive. Like, he looks like a pro to me.
Wow. Okay.
You know, and obviously with development and maturity, but I was very impressed with his tape. Again, it's just tape and it's grainy from New Zealand and they're in like small gyms and you can't gauge the competition, but how he moved athletically, how he shot it, was very impressive. And again, very close to Grayson, in my opinion.
We talked about back when we would play like the Czechoslovakian national team, and he's playing against crafty veterans, right? He's playing against grown men. Better talent. Doesn't mean you can see how he can fly and other guys can fly, but he's playing against men. And it's a different thing, but he's like, you know, what is he, 17 years old? I don't know, 18? But he looks like kind of a man. He's athletic. I liked it.
I do too. I like him a lot.
And again, highlights, right?
You know, it's highlights. And, you know, you can only pick up so much on tape. I'd love to hear from our coaches who saw him play and what they saw. But definitely on tape, you know, he looks like he plays sort of at that European pace, which is measured and solid and balanced. And he shot the hell out of it from what I saw. So he looked very good.
Did our coaches get to see him in person? Was Penny there, or have they just recruited him based on tape?
I imagine he's seen him because he went back and he hasn't come. I don't think he came back.
Right. Kirk Payne, yeah. He was,
he went back over there and stayed. So yeah, I imagine we got a good look at him and they trust
Coach. Well, yeah. And his stock got hot in a hurry too. Yeah. So, that's
a great pickup. Exactly. That's a good way to put it, Chris.
You know, and
out of nowhere, you
know, same with Trey Murphy. Like, it's interesting to hear, like you were saying earlier, Fresh, just how good he looked and what was your comp for him?
Mine?
Yeah.
Anthony Hardaway.
Right. Penny. Yeah.
Not in terms of like he's at that level, but the way he looks. So I saw him in like quick dribbles behind the back, boom, boom, go. And follow ups on dunks and stuff. He's an athletic kid, man. Same type body.
Yeah, I still really want us to see that guy, and maybe that's him. You know, maybe it's Jar. What are we calling him anyway?
Right.
Not only create his own shot, but looks for that. Like Dre was a guy who could create his own shot. You didn't often find him looking to do that. And someone with a little more of that killer instinct there. Can any of those guys fill that role?
Yeah, it's a good. We'll see, right?
And I'll backtrack on my Anthony Hardaway. Anthony was way more refined. I think Trey Murphy's much less, but it's the same raw type thing.
Is he big like Anthony was?
He is now. Yeah, he's like 6'8", right?
Yeah, CW? 6'8". 6'8". Yeah.
Anthony was 6'7". Whatever. Yeah. Which, there's no difference, but... You know, Anthony had that herky-jerky, weird style, skinny, but...
Memphis.
Unbelievable skills. I played again. I'm 2-1 against Anthony in high school, for the record.
I know. I remember that.
He's done better than me in high
school. I got a question for Mark.
Basketball. I'll get a quick question about before you ask, please. Dougie, do you think we'll see UVA ever run a little bit in transition this year with the squad they have?
I wish, man. I really wish because it's Kihei, and I've said it ad nauseum. He's so much better with 7-footers behind him than in front of him. Yeah. Do I think they'll run like a consorted effort, like go? No. But I hope that the coaches let them say, yo, when you see it, go.
Yeah, my guess is that they're going to continue to be opportunistic, but with the kind of lineups we're going to have this year, there should be more opportunities.
Right.
But,
you know, Marky, your son Ty, he'd get the ball and just stop. All right, let's set it up. You know, here's my skill set. Here's our skill set. But I think Kihei, if he can just go and get in front of people.
Well, he's going to kick the ball up court. I'm not sure how much space he can travel, he can cover, how many dribbles he can get up court, right? But if there's guys running the lanes.
Yeah.
Athletes that UVA has this year.
Right? Well, that's what I did. Jamal Robinson is always so good about, you know, getting back, you know, two paces ahead of everyone else. And, you know, we need that guy and then the point guard, Kia, that'll find him.
I think the knock on us has been the knock, which is – I have no knocks. But it's like your offense can't mirror your tremendous defense. And I think it's done that for a long time. Does that make any sense? Like you're defending so well, so play offense the same way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense a little bit? Or no?
You can't. No one ever says you're awesome at both things, right? They pick out one. Virginia's always been picked out for its defensive prowess. It's, you know, under Tony, the pack line, you know, the value of each possession. Like, those are the things we're heralded for. And I don't, you know, and programs need to have an identity. I think that's a really unique and good identity to have in this kind of, you know, it differentiates us for sure. But what I have a question about, and I think this is maybe for Mark, and actually it's for the whole group. So, you know, think about this. What we're talking about now is all these great players. Okay. We've got great talent. A kid might be coming in. We've signed this great kid. You know, it used to be, all right, we've got like two really good players and we've got these other solid guys. Now we've got superstars coming, which is a totally different problem for the coaching staff. Do you think they're going to have to get better at managing that versus just having a, you know, two or three guys that are really good and fill in? It's a different problem. And I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Havis, a great question. And thank you for yielding and allowing me to ask my question first.
Yeah.
Especially since you're the guest, which it's, you know, do you compromise what you've built and go in a different direction? I think there's been some conversations about that, right? It's you won the championship already. Right. And do you take some risks with some five stars and some guys who may do be one and dones or 2 years? From what I understand, there's been some conversations. Just throwing it around, not saying that anybody's committing to it. And I don't think that right now UVA commits to it because they do such a great job with developing guys. Right. I don't know other schools that develop 2 and 3 year guys the same way, right? Maybe Nova.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say Villanova for sure.
Who else? I mean, I'm sure there are a couple of schools.
But Gonzaga?
That works. Yeah, Gonzaga.
It's a different problem now. The problem used to be we've got 2 to 3 really good players and we've got to fill in 2 to 3 spots. Now we have 9 guys that are awesome. And how do we manage that? And that's a different challenge for the coaching staff. And you know, maybe it's a Jay Willie show question, but for Tony, who's the head of the program, you know, it's sort of like you made it into the area you want to be. And now I've got to be more selective and think about that. So by the way, it's great to be in this area.
Right.
It just poses, you know, and you're moving into the area that Mike Krzyzewski, Calipari, you know, Roy Williams has been there. Dean Smith. You can go through John Wooden. John Wooden had, you know, the best players from the country every year going there. He had 12 of them back in the day. Yep. Managing that is an issue. So, you know, it's exciting to be in this new paradigm, but it's a new set of challenges that I'm anxious to see how we'll handle it. And, you know,
I think it's also a careful what you ask for. You might get it, right?
Exactly, Fresh.
And I've seen Coach Bennett, you know, after a game back in the day, like the alumni game, whatever, he's like, oh, I have a top, whatever, top 10, top 50. I got to get back to the locker room after spending his time talking to the alumni, doing a great job. But he gets excited about it, man. He's a competitive dude. And it's thinks it's neat.
It changes what he does currently so dramatically, though. I mean, developing these guys year after year, you start getting where you've only got a year with a guy. You know, I assume there's a way he's looking to bring them along, and now you're trying to compress that in a year, just do as much as you can. You know, and then you've got the roster management issues, which we have roster management issues that are different now. You know, we're not getting some of these guys because of our stacked roster. You know, versus you go the Coach K or the Calipari route, where you're turning over most of your roster every year. And if a guy's not good enough to go to the NBA, then so what? He's going somewhere else because you've got to make the spot for this next incoming guy. And if you're not doing that, then you're not going to get next year's one and done because last year's one and done is sitting on the bench with a year under his belt. So it doesn't seem fun from a coaching standpoint to get into that cycle. You know, the way Tony's doing it seems more appealing to me, but you know, who knows what's in his.
I told somebody today, if you go one and done, so let's say we have the one and done, let's say we have let's say we have Bagley from Duke. You have 10 problems you've never dealt with before, right? Because he's not going to go to school the whole year. He's got agents. He's got endorsements. He's dealing with that stuff during his college season. One season, by the way. Right?
Well, they got to keep him eligible for the fall semester. That's it.
Right. Right.
So he's got 4 months, call it 3 months.
Right.
3.5 to stay eligible. And then you don't have to, you know, because you're not getting – you don't get a final grade till June, and by then it's too late. So,
right,
it's really a 4 month, you know, grading period.
Have when you were one and done, what would your curriculum have been? Theater, tech.
I would have learned, you know,
to learning how to tie a slip knot and what else.
I would have been culinary arts with Phony. Phony and I would have been in the same class. I would have gone fishing. And then a lot of people don't know this, but I was big in the interpretive folk dancing scene at UVA, which was understated, but Celtic? a really passionate group.
Celtic.
But back to what we were talking about. I remembered an article I read, and it was talking about the one and dones, and they were saying that the one and done is a problem unless you fully buy into that program, right? So Calipari has,
right?
I think Krzyzewski has, and they were saying, like, you know, the three rarest sightings in the world are Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster and a junior eligible player at Kentucky. Right? So that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. And I don't want to see us go one and done, but I think we're going to move. I think we're going to move down more into the, sort of the DeAndre area.
Right.
Moving forward. And I think that is a really good fit for us, not only culturally for the program, because you can't shift too much or the fan base gets weird. And I think for Tony and staff, you know, having kids that are staying 2 to 3, if not 4, right, is a better fit. But, you know, that's for them to decide. And I'm just chiming in from my car outside of a hospital.
Why do we think we'll get a one and done in the next few years? Do you think we're going to get one, like, as an attempt?
I think it happens on accident.
Right. That's
yeah, totally somebody agree. Turns into a one and done, no, I really like going do. After a 5-star.
Well, because of our reputation now, right? Like, you know, I sat next to the GM who's Steve Kerr coach? I'm lost. Golden State. I sat next to him and he said DeAndre. I was like, who do you like, coach? Who do you like, man? He's like, DeAndre Hunter. And he was a red shirt freshman. He's like, he's everything, you know. I think it's going to happen kind of on accident and surprise all of us. And it'll be a measurable kid, a kid that averages 8 points a game and 3 rebounds, but he's got all the stuff and he'll be out.
And that's why wouldn't DeAndre, he be? DeAndre was an accident.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
He got hurt. And he was under recruited.
Yeah,
TV saw him
get injured, right?
Like, we need the, or Jay Willie, I forget who it was, saw him, and they were like, it's unreal.
Yeah, I got a text from his first week of practice from the gym that said he was the steal of the class that year. Like, as soon as he got on grounds, like, they were like, okay, this guy, you know, sometimes you're a little bit disappointed by what you get, but they were.
Well, Marky, can we, if you might not be able to share this, but it's interesting. What did Ty say about DeAndre? Is they were first years together, right?
Roommates.
Was he like, yo, Dad, this dude's ridiculous? Or was he like, yeah, you know, we'll see.
He was really, really good. And so did the coaching staff. I talked to Orlando Vandross about him one day at practice. I was in practice and he was like, this guy could be 2 and done. Or 1 and done, whatever it was. I think that was after his red shirt first year. So he could have gone. There was talk about him leaving after, if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah. If he didn't get hurt, yeah, I think.
He'd have been gone.
If he didn't get hurt, maybe there's a championship in 19.
Right. That's very true.
Then he's gone. Yeah.
That was very
then
true.
He was ready.
Coach. Yeah, you know, yeah. I was talking to his brother often throughout the season, and he was like telling me that guys were hitting him up, agents were hitting him up throughout the, you know, through not DeAndre, but his brother and Aaron throughout the at the ACC tournament. I remember him telling me all the different guys. I was like, wow.
That's when I was next to the GM. He was like, yep. That's him.
Yeah. But Dougie, you're absolutely right. You're talking about managing a whole another set of issues and problems.
Yeah. No.
Right? You talk about one and done. And then also when you look at guys getting paid for their likeness and the images, it's going to bring a whole nother issue of problem of sort of problems. Right. And when you look at Bagley and what was the other big kid's name that went to, was that Duke with him?
I know you're talking about, I forgot the name.
Wendell Carter.
Carter.
Yeah.
Carter.
It was a big Wendell battle. Carter. It was a huge battle, right? With it.
Oh yeah. The mom, the whole thing.
Right? Talking about how, yeah. You know, how much money did he get versus how much money he was, you know, Carter was getting. And
yeah, but that was like a Tahoe versus an Escalade.
Okay.
Beef.
But right? but it's principle, right? It's not.
No doubt. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. But you're actually right. And that's what the beef is. That was the
No doubt.
We're talking about.
I think we're going to have, so Fresh, I'll disagree with you. I think, but I agree with that we can have a one and done on accident. I also think now, you know, we don't really know what it means to be national champions because we didn't have to defend. We didn't have to defend the year after we won it. But I think there's a prestige there. I think we're going to start seeing people really interested in Virginia. that maybe wouldn't have been. So like you guys mentioned the kid from Northern Virginia earlier, you know, a year from now, if he's a year younger, maybe he thinks about us a little. We go deep in the tournament. We win it this year. We go to Final Four, whatever. And I'm not pushing expectation, but
yeah,
I think we're in that category now where, you know, I think we'll get a guy that says, you know what, I want to go there. I need to work on my overall game. And, yep, you know, I can see that too. So I just wanted to throw that in there because we've had some by accidents before, but I think we're going to have on purposes coming next.
Right.
That's but good. He's going to have to be a Tony Bennett guy, in which, you know, of that small pool of one and dones, there's an even smaller subset of Tony Bennett guys that want to play that kind of game. And
it takes a special guy, right? A special guy that's like, yo, I'm going there because of these reasons.
Yeah. Right. And looking to develop and not just looking at the raw numbers that he's going to be posting. And somebody who appreciates advanced stats.
Mark, do you think Zion would have had to redshirt the UVA or no?
Absolutely. we also talk about personal characters, right? Character qualities and humility. Like you've got to be one and done's got to be extremely humble to come to UVA.
Oh man, imagine
like, that's not. I don't know how you know that's rare.
It is rare.
Zion's a nice kid.
It's impossible.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, he's a great kid, man. Like that guy had a lot on him, and he is, you know, he's had some injuries, but he's done everything right. And, you know, by all accounts is a great kid. I wanna just give a quick shout out. Fresh, you haven't probably looked at your phone.
I saw it coming in. Who was that?
That's Sean Wilson's wife, Carrie Wilson, who went with Fresh and I, is watching the show. I want to give her much love from the Locker Room Access team. She's got a daughter playing volleyball at Wake Forest and one who is signed to go to South Carolina to play SEC volleyball.
That's awesome.
Big part of the Virginia family. We'd love to see it grow. So, Carrie, we love you.
Love you,
thanks
Carrie.
Thanks for tuning in. Man,
thanks, awesome. Carrie.
I was going to say that if we go back to the example of Trevor Keels, for him to say I'm coming to UVA, he needs the confidence to be like, I don't care who you've got there, upperclass, whatever, I'm better, I'm coming, and I'm gonna help. And then but then that, what does that do to the chemistry, like Mark was saying, in terms of chemistry and quality? You have a guy, clearly that person is an alpha dog, and coming in to a team that may, I don't know, I mean, I feel like the team always needs a couple of those. But like having someone that has that personality, I don't know, that'd be super interesting. Like someone come in and just say, "Hey, you know what?
Well, go ahead, Mark.
I'll give another scenario, two dubs. It's either that or timing has got to be impeccable, where there's got to be someone leaving a certain position where that incoming first year knows he's gonna, if he's that good, he's gonna get a lot of playing time.
He's gonna come in and get it.
Whether starting or gonna be six man,
right?
Where he's comfortable and confident, that coaches think that highly of him.
Right.
Where he's going to.
Think about it. DeAndre Hunter was a sixth man in college basketball.
Sixth man of the year.
I'm saying, but he's the fourth pick of the draft. How's that possible? Right.
That was after he redshirted. Right.
Right.
We all know.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have redshirted, but I'm glad he did.
Right, no, that's a great,
crazy.
Yeah, I don't know, but what does he like? What does Tony Bennett do? Let's say, and I'm sorry to use kids' names, but I love Reese Beekman. I love Kia Clark. What if Reese deserves minutes? Does Tony like think about it?
Plays them both, right? They can play together.
I get it, but I'm saying, what if you know somebody deserves to play more? Like I asked Coach Holland, if I can beat John Crotty out, will I start? And they laughed at me. That was a joke, guys.
I didn't laugh, Fresh.
Thanks, Av. Jeff Jones laughed a lot. But I'm saying, like, you know, like, where's the loyalty? Not loyalty, but, like, you know what I mean? That's a tough thing.
It's a trust. So, like, it's, you know, it's trust, right? And
right,
you can have trust in two players. for a lot of different parts of the game, but at the end of the game, we talked about this earlier, yes, finishing the game, the coach is going to say, I trust him a little bit more.
Right.
And it might be situational, but deep down there's a trust that Kihei has earned.
Right.
You know, he's had big moments. He's had
huge,
you know, abbreviated season last year, but leadership. And I think he'll always have trust, and he will
right,
check out Beekman and test him out and, you know, see how he does. But there's deep trust, I think, with Kihei.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
Good point. Good point at finishing.
But maybe Kihei doesn't have to play 42 minutes a game this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the hope and dream. I was gonna end it on one last article, note, whatever. This is Virginia. The basketball team visited the new memorial at UVA for the enslaved laborers. Have you guys seen this or heard of it? Because I remember, Mark, the last game, Louisville, we walked by and we're like, oh, we gotta check this out when it's done.
Now it's last time I was there, I was peeking through the fabric there trying to get a look at it as they were building it. But I think that's a really neat installation that they did there, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing it all completed.
Where is that?
It's over near on one of those sides of the range, the bookstore? I guess. Near the side where, what is that, the art building there? That really weird architecture?
No, it used to be the labyrinth. I'm wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, it's the area that has all those ginkgo trees that stink so bad.
It's kind of... when you come, walking from the stadium to the lawn, you see it.
Yeah, and it's not far from the corner. It's on the corner side.
Yeah. There. It's pretty cool. Definitely.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We'll have to check that out. Anything else?
That's great.
Anything else, Mark?
No, that is it.
Appreciate everybody.
All right. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for jumping on.
Anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. And Facebook fans, make sure you follow us. If you have any questions, throw it in the comments, and we'll get to them. Maybe we'll do this every once in a while. Do the Focus Corner. Usually it's just on Apple and Spotify. Maybe we'll do this every once in a while.
Yeah, why not?
I'd like to personally invite Leaf to join this call. Please get in touch with me. You can DM me. I'm fascinated by you in an appropriate way.
I love it. All right. Maybe next week we'll have Leaf on.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Thanks,
good night,
guys. All right, guys.
How's it going?
Peace.